Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
All right, let's continue the conversation you guys were just having. You were talking about the idea that Kyrie could play for the Nets at home in the playoffs. Nets would have to pay a fine. Here's how it breaks down. Now, this is a New York City thing, right? This is not an NBA-imposed thing. This is a municipal issue. Mm-hmm. If the Nets violate the rule in place, if you're not vaccinated, the first offense is a warning.
Slap on the wrist.
That one's free.
Hey, don't do that.
It's like, yeah, right, like being censured by the UN or something. Like, oh, bad, okay. Second offense is a $1,000 fine. $1,000.
I just want people to know Josiah is worth $9 billion. Continue.
$1,000. Like, if this was 1916, that'd be like, I don't know, $1,000.
That's a lot.
Second offense.
$2,000.
Oh, sorry, that was $1,000. Because the first is just a warning. It's free. Second offense is a $1,000 fine. Third offense. Uh-oh. $2,000 American.
So that'll be like a seat underneath the basket.
Yeah. Yes.
What fraction of a Bitcoin is that? Okay. Fourth offense.
Well, it just dropped the other day, so it probably increased. Go ahead.
So you'd think 1,000, 2,000. Is it going to be 3,000? Are they going up by 1,000? Or are they doubling from 1 to 2? Is it 4,000? Haha, you'd be wrong. It's $5,000. You'd be up to $8,000 already. Josiah, I don't know if he can find that kind of money. The fifth offense. Until your infinitieth offense. $5,000.
Another nickel.
What? There we go.
So if the Nets don't play Kyrie at home until game one of the playoffs, and they have home court throughout the playoffs, like this, in other words, let's try and figure out the largest possible number that this fine could be. They have home court throughout the playoffs. They play the maximum of 16 home games because they go to a game seven every time, the whole thing. They could pay up to $68,000 in fines.
What?
Here's Woj on the 6 p.m. Sports Center.
There, you know, is a scenario where the Nets could decide that they're willing to pay a fine every game to have Kyrie Irving play. Now, they're not willing to do that now. They have an owner in Josiah who's been very, who's been very emphatic in the need for people to get vaccinated. And I don't think the Nets right now are going to go against that and publicly pay fines for a player who's unvaccinated to play. But certainly with the league, CDC relaxations of COVID rules, the world could look different for the Nets by the end of the season. Remember, they changed their stance once on Kyrie Irving. We don't want him as a part-time player. They decided we do want him as a part-time player. That could potentially change again before the postseason.
You know, guys, when I hear this, the fact of the matter is, and Key, I don't think I need a medical degree to mention this, that our perception of COVID keeps changing, as does, and the virus is mutated too, right? So now we have Omicron, and it's everywhere because it's highly contagious. On the other hand, especially since so many people are vaccinated, it doesn't feel, I think, to the average person walking down the street like it did when COVID-19 first hit, and we had to lock everything down because people are still dying. I don't want to make light of it. I don't want to make it, like, say what's going on. But, it feels
numbers.
More like people are starting to psychologically accept the idea that this is here. It's going to be like getting the flu because they noticed that, especially among the vaccinated, people's symptoms aren't as severe as they used to be, and it's something that we're going to have to live with. So I think psychologically, people's point of view about this is changing, guys, to the point where it may not even be that bad of a PR hit for the Nets just to pay the fine and have Kyrie play.
Some people, right? Not everybody. Some people view things differently. Paying the fine is fine by me. I'm just talking about the optics of what it looks like. And you said not a bad PR hit.
going to be a hit. Don't get it wrong.
It depends on who's putting the hit out there and how they want to run with it. Should the Nets do it to win a championship? I'm an athlete. Yeah, they should win a championship and do what it takes to win a championship. But I just know how this world reacts to things and how people go nuts over things. You won't let fans in that's not vaccinated to watch the games, but you're allowing, you know, and you get all that going.
Or a visiting player can play.
I'm a fan of the team, Jay, but I can't afford $68,000 of fines to go watch my beloved Nets play.
So here's what's funny to me, though. It's, you know, we're talking about the optics of Josiah and Kyrie and how loud that will be. Mm-hmm. The optics are already messed up, guys. They're already messed up. I just don't think national media has polarized it to the degree, because it's not Kyrie Irving. It's not being made on – it's a one side or the other. Unvaccinated players are allowed to come into Brooklyn and play. Kyrie last night played in the United Center, right, in a place in Chicago where you have to be vaccinated to go into places and eat and drink, or a place like the United Center. He played in that. So the optics are already messed up. So I don't understand why people are so concerned that this one is going to be blown out of proportion when it's already been done.
I think it's already been done. It's like everything, though, Jay. The goalpost moves.
Yeah, but Key, let me tell you how the goalpost moves. And it is moving. And going back to your point, Max. So my wife and my two kids caught it over the break. Okay? We all had the quarantine together. I didn't catch it because I already had it twice. So my daughter, right, is 3 years old. She's in the threes program at her school. And before, they were like, hey, look, we're not taking – if you're COVID positive, we're not taking anything. We're not taking anybody back until you're COVID negative. All right, so my daughter had the symptoms for 5 days. Symptoms went away. She was a lot better for another 3-4 days. And she's out there running around, laughing, no coughing, no sneezing, no nothing. And we're like, hey, can she go back to school? They're like, well, is she COVID negative? Like, no. Her test came back. She's still positive, but she's not showing any symptoms. And they're like, yeah, okay, bring her back to school. Like, right, that would have never been the case 3 months ago, three, 4 months ago.
So the question is about his vaccination status. But it's to the point I was making earlier. Yes. There's a sense that it's endemic now, that we're not just going to get rid of it, that as long as the virus is heading in a direction where it's less deadly rather than more, people are going to figure it out. But
they're still going to scream, though. People are still
always going to scream.
No question.
And Jay said, though, he was able to play in United Center, but the rules that are in place, if you are a home team with a player that's not vaccinated in Chicago as well as here in New York, they cannot play.
It feels like contradictory. The thing about the unvaccinated, here's where I could see a real PR hit. And this is the reason I remember I was out in L.A. doing Sports Nation. And Max Marcel's on radio on ESPN out in L.A.
Plug.
And I couldn't take my kids to Disneyland all of a sudden. This is pre-pandemic because the measles had come back, because there's this big anti-vax movement at the time. And so I was very aware of this issue pre-pandemic, pre all the political roiling of our country. If you look into it, you'll find that if a certain percentage of the population is vaccinated, you're okay. And then the people who choose not to get vaccinated are called freeloaders. They're relying on the herd immunity that everyone else creates by getting vaccinated. So people who are aware of stuff like that will not like what's going on with Kyrie if he goes back to play. I think most people, however, will feel, I just want to see him play basketball.
Well, also,
I'm not as afraid of Omicron as I was of COVID-19 when it first came out. You know, I think they're going to feel that. And their vaccinations, Max.
If it was really about the safety, then shut down businesses, right? Like, why are fines in place? Shut businesses down, New York. You tell me it's going to affect your bottom line? Like, so you put fines in place by saying, all right, first one you get a warning, then you get a $1,000 fine, then you get a $2,000. So obviously this has been thought through if people violate that, right? But they're not going to shut down big businesses. It's helping the bottom line of the city.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I think that there's actually far too much.
It's about the money.
What I'm saying is it's America. You make your own decision about whether or not you want to get vaccinated. That is on you. If it were me, there would be much less time. Like, you don't have to get vaccinated, but then you ain't coming to work, you ain't going to school, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's not where we are culturally, to me, unfortunately. And as a result, people are looking at Kyrie going, hold up, why can't he play? Because of the things that you're pointing out, Jay, that seem to be contradictory, right? Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Let me get to the other big story in New York yesterday.
Per Adam Schefter, the New York Giants have fired their now former head coach, Joe Judge.
I mean, yeah, that's what happens when you stink at your job, you know, like you get fired.
I think what most fans want to see is a competent product on the field. They don't want to see quarterback sneaks on third and nine from your own five-yard line. They want to see a team that's mentally and physically tough, a team that's going to be competitive more often than not.
So, John Mara, Giants owner, CEO, co-owner with Steve Tisch, CEO, and for me, most importantly, team president, that's where my beef is, on why fans should trust him to get this right. This was Wednesday, and the press conference is yesterday. Listen.
Well, I haven't given him any reason to believe that. It's up to me to make the right choices, up to Steve and I to make the right choices going forward to earn back their trust. And that is not going to be an overnight process. That's going to take some time, but it starts with getting the general manager pick done correctly and then with hiring the right head coach. Now, that's going to be a process that we're going to have to earn their trust again. And as I said, that's not going to happen overnight.
Guys, you know, I've mentioned about John Mara that I really don't want him to be team president because he's bad at it. But CEO, sure, obviously. There's not ill will in New York about Mara the way there is about Jim Dolan or someone like that. He's not disliked. He's just been identified correctly.
Why don't you want him to be the president? What is because he doing that's so wrong?
He hired Dave Gettleman.
You know how many owners or general managers, for that matter, have hired the wrong general manager or the wrong head coach for whatever reason?
Yeah, but if you have a record of futility for a decade, you got to go. If you're a team president, you got to go.
Man, the dude,
if I own the team.
The dude won two championships. He won two championships prior to the Gettleman hire.
That was 10 years ago, and no, he wasn't team president at the time. Since he's been
team president, things have fallen apart. He still was making the decisions along with whoever was the team president.
I like what Mara had to say. He's being honest and straightforward. In that soundbite, he was saying, I haven't given him reason to trust us. That's exactly right. Now, listen to this about their, and this addresses what you just said to me, Key, the new GM. Listen to John Mara. We're going to react to this. Listen.
He will lead the search for a head coach, but those decisions always are subject to final approval by ownership. You know, in terms of Daniel or Saquon or anyone else you want to ask me, that's going to be between the general manager and the head coach.
That's John Mara, Giants co-owner along with Steve Tisch. He's also the CEO. All that's good with me, but he's also team president. You hear what he just said, Key? That's to me what it's about. He's like, look, Saquon, Daniel, that's just the GM and the head coach.
Yeah,
I'm out of that.
Because it's roster.
But finding the GM, that's me.
Yeah.
But wait. This is where I want to slow down for a second. If you're CEO and owner, you got to sign off on everything. I get it. But if you're team president, you are actively involved in the search. I think of a dude like Masai Ujiri in Toronto, where they've had a lot of success. He's team president, right? So there's a GM under him. But he's hands-on. What I'm saying about Mara is take your hands off.
But the structure in Toronto in basketball is different than the structure in football. He has to, as an owner, find the general manager, even if he removed himself from president. Mm-hmm. As he said in that clip, he has to sign off on it regardless. Even if you as the general manager brought me Jay Will as the coach, I got to – what you think, I'm just going to let you hire Jay Will? No, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to talk to Jay Will. And we're going to have a conversation before me and my partner say, good, let's do it.
Doesn't that depend upon what kind of general manager you bring in and what kind of clout he kind of warrants?
Like, no matter what general manager
like hypothetically, I know we talk about this over the last several days. You bring in Sean Payton.
Yeah.
You're Sean Payton. You're telling me, oh, I need to get your approval, John Mara, for how I want to build this team out as it relates to Daniel Jones. Like, I hear they have to sign off on it, but no, if you bring in a guy like
here's
that.
The difference
not
between
the roster. That's what John was saying in there. The general manager and the head coach are in charge of the roster. They'll make the decisions on whether Saquon is the guy, whether Daniel Jones is the guy. His argument is Max's argument is he shouldn't be allowed to.
Shouldn't allow himself.
To sign off.
To sign off.
No,
and find,
no. No, I'm not saying sign off. Wait, this is the confusion. Look. Congress passes laws, right?
The
then the president can veto, right?
Okay.
That's one thing. That's different than writing the law. Yeah. You just have veto power.
Yep.
Signing off is essentially the same thing as veto power.
Fair.
You're like, you guys did all this work, the legwork, you interviewed everyone, you made your judgment. Now I just need to know if I agree with you or not. And if I don't, I'm not signing off on that guy. That's totally different than being actively involved in a search for a guy, input in decision making on who that candidate is going to be. That's different than I'm just going to sit back, Key, Jay, go do your thing. Bring me this dude. Let me see if I like him. I don't like this dude. Veto. That's different than me being involved with you guys looking for
but
what I want.
But that's not what he's saying he's doing. He's not saying
okay, let's
he's
listen
doing
to it,
it
again. Yeah. Let's listen to it again.
He will lead the search for a head coach, but those decisions always are subject to final approval by ownership. You know, in terms of Daniel or Saquon or anyone else you want to ask me, that's going to be between the general manager and the head coach.
Okay. What he just said right there, Max, is it's always final approval by the owner. I'm going to allow you to do you,
yeah,
but I got to approve it.
But no, he was talking slick just then.
No, listen,
hold on, hold
really?
On. Wait,
it didn't sound like he was talking
let
slick.
Let me explain to you. He said he is going to lead the search.
Meaning,
for
no, when he said he means the general manager.
General manager.
He means that you got to listen to it.
Listen to it again. Play it again.
He will lead the search for a head coach, but
okay.
Those decisions always.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. He will lead the search.
I take it back. The GM will lead it. But wait, hold.
You
who chooses the GM?
But Max,
but that's
somebody's
got
it.
Somebody
okay.
has to do that,
wait
though,
a
Max.
Minute.
That's what they're going to do.
Hold on. Think this through. I'm very consistent. Somebody has to lead the search for the GM. That would be the team president. The CEO and owner signs
off. Check this out, though, Buttercup. You have to pay attention.
So
the one thing he said is we haven't done a good job. There's no reason to trust us right now. We got to win that trust back.
Right.
Also in his press conference, he also mentioned we have to find the right general manager.
Mm-hmm.
He is admitting
who's
to
we?
That. Him and Steve.
And I'm saying,
I think, look, we're all right here because I hear what you're saying and I'm in alignment with you that – he said he's going to pick the GM and then he's going to allocate the GM or, you know, essentially say, hey, GM, delegate your responsibilities. This is yours. Now you pick the coach. I'll stay out of it. I'll sign off on approval. What Max is saying is there's been a level of idiocy in the process to begin with that he doesn't trust them to pick the right GM, that there should be somebody in place that should be the team president and that should not be John Mara. John Mara and Steve Tisch should just be the owners. And that's it.
Or and
I think both of them are more than qualified to pick a general manager and have the general manager lead the charge.
Not okay. In the last 10 years. 10 years.
They picked Jerry Reese. They won Super Bowls. Then they fired him. And
with
the
Corsi's team, largely.
It doesn't matter.
But you said it mattered when Switzer won with.
But that's different, though, because that was the coach. It was on autopilot.
Let me explain another way. You know how you said just now, you pointed out that I was incorrect in the way I was hearing it. He's saying the GM will lead the search for the coach, and they'll just sign off on it, right? The owners will just sign off on it. But it's the GM that's going to be leading the search for the coach.
Yes.
What I'm saying is someone's got to lead the search for the GM. I don't mind Mara signing off on it.
No, I understand
that. Put someone there who knows what they're doing.
You want
a
Rich McKay.
Yes.
Who is the president of the Atlanta Falcons, who will then lead the search for the general manager.
Yes.
But that's the way that organization is designed and built. They feel
hadn't always been that way.
They feel I'm talking about Atlanta,
uh-oh.
But they feel here in New York that they are more than qualified to hire a general manager. That's why he said we haven't got it done right. We're owe it to the fans. We're going to get the right guy because they feel that they're going to get the right guy. They understand the mistakes.
I feel otherwise.
they feel the mistakes that was made was internally. Mm. Hey, I know Max, I'm going to hire him. We've been together drinking coffee forever. Bad mistake, right?
They hire your friends. Yeah.
They admitted to that.
Right.
So now they're looking outside of MetLife. They're looking outside.
But what he said
that's
is correct.
A step in the right direction.
Let's play the first clip again, Evan. This is why I feel the way I do. Listen to what he said about trust.
Well, I haven't given him any reason to believe that. It's up to me to make the right choices, up to Steve and I to make the right choices going forward to earn back their trust. And that is not going to be an overnight process. That's going to take some time, but it starts with getting the general manager pick done correctly and then with hiring the right head coach.
He's right in
his
analysis.
That's going to be a process that we're going to have to earn their trust again. And as I said, that's not going to happen overnight.
He's right in his analysis. What I'm saying is I don't have another 10 years of my life to waste waiting to see if they're right or wrong.
Oh, damn, nice. Super fan Max.
All right, I don't, but like I what I'm saying is, yes, you are correct. John Mara is correct. He has, but there's everyone in New York, like, who roots for the Giants has an affinity for him. It's not about that. They like the fact that he owns the team. It's in his capacity as team president. He has been such an abject failure, so in the especially the last time around with Gettleman, that if it was anyone else as CEO, he would have fired the guy. So fire himself and go get a real president. But that's what I'm saying.
He feels, again.
Yes, I know what he feels.
That he is more than qualified.
Do you feel he is?
I don't have a problem with him finding a general manager. I don't have a problem with
that. If you were a Giants fan, would you have a problem with it?
No, because I'm not like you. I'm not. I don't live and
don't
die.
Don't be so down on yourself.
I don't live and die based on what an owner of a team is doing with a team. I'm not going to go crazy like that because they won championships doing it a certain way. And then they're going to do it another way now because they realize the mistakes that they just made.
Very happy as a Giants fan, Jay, to have John Mara as an owner of the team and as a CEO. I'm not happy about having him as president. I'll give you last word.
I will say this. 8 playoff teams do have the president as the owner of the team. 8 playoff teams this
8
year.
Playoff yeah. teams do.
And the Giants haven't spent a single day over 500 in 5 years.
Like I said, so I'm not going back to being optimistic right now, Max. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to bring you back towards where we're going.
I like you. Did it yesterday.
I like the tone of John Mara.
I do too.
Off the interview. I know you may have questions about the lack of judgment, but to me as a fan, that sounded like somebody says, I am willing to do what it takes to earn back your trust. And that's not going to happen overnight, but just know that I am thinking that I like that.
Hire a team president. You got my trust just like this. You got it right back. Let's bring Bart Scott into this conversation, who has, and ask him who has the most pressure on them going into Super Wild Card Weekend. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM channel.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Bart Scott here, giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Huh. No contract, no compromise. Key goes for the shot in the waste paper basket. Way off.
Man, he was like Kevin Duckworth over there shooting them J's, man.
Duckworth.
Kevin Duckworth hit a shot.
He ain't making that.
No contract, no compromise. Good morning, Bart Scott. Key again.
Bill
from outside,
Cartwright,
short, was long and then was short.
You already owe me five.
I missed y'all, man. What's up?
What's going on, Bart?
Y'all don't answer my calls. Key asked me, was I still working here, man? You heard something, Key? We in this together, bro. If I go, we all go.
Nah.
Nah. Y'all ain't with me? Who's coming with me?
Nobody.
Nobody. I'm like a coach that's assistant coach that know I'm getting ready to get fired. I don't talk to nobody for a couple weeks. Go in and close my door.
Y'all seen Key lately? Y'all seen Coach Key?
Work on my future plans and my resume. Looking through other programs and media guys, other teams.
Come on there, he got fam on two other teams. Like, hold on, what you doing, coach?
You come into his office and he goes, close the laptop real quick. What you doing?
Speaking of guys.
You know, I've done that before.
Yo, I love that logo, bro. That's hot right there, son.
What's that?
Man, we should get some merch.
Speaking of guys who are about to get fired, gridiron about to fire Ben Roethlisberger, at least from the NFL. Bart, you played in the AFC North for much of your career. Here's Big Ben. Listen. On facing the Chiefs.
We haven't discussed it, but I think, I would assume as a group you understand that, you know, we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're the, out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. We're a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens. We're probably 20-point underdogs, and we're going to the number one team that's, I know they're not the number one seed, but they're the number one team that's won the AFC the last 2 years. Arguably the best team in football. We don't have a chance, so let's just go in and play and have fun.
What you think, Bart?
That's reflection, right? That's perspective, right? He understands what everybody else says. Now that silent confidence that you have internally in that locker room, you know, T.J. Watt's like, hey man, I got to get to the quarterback. They got to get turnovers, right? It got to be one of those games when we looked at Indianapolis and Jacksonville, like, how the hell they lose to them, right? But you know, football is funny. Right? The ball can bounce in weird ways, and Ben just has to make enough plays. You talk about special teams, they block punts. It's going to be all three phases, and they're going to have to make sure that they come and make the big plays. You know, when it's opportunity to make interceptions, you know, you can't be pumping yourself, you know, that a boy, my bad. Yeah, it is your bad. You just lost us the game because that could be the determining play. When those plays are there, you got to take advantage of them. And that's how it is, man. And like we've seen it before, and Ben knows what he, listen, it's nothing to lose. They're supposed to win, lose. All the pressure is on Kansas City. So, man, fumble rooskies, get creative, man. Play with a sense of desperation. It's tough to beat a team when they doing anything.
That's what I said to you earlier, Max.
Then why the hell y'all have me on?
The ball can bounce any way, man. All of a sudden, there's a sack fumble, scoop and score. There's a pick that goes through somebody's arms because they tried to catch it with their arms instead of their hands. All of a sudden, there's a punt return because Kansas City's backed up, and then there's a punt return that's getting muffed.
Najee Harris, dink and dunk offense, eat the clock.
Yeah,
weird stuff happens.
Minka Fitzpatrick, T.J. Watt,
somebody's
going
to have to stand on their head, right? You need your great players to play great. They can't play average. They can't have one of these games where the stat line is crazy. T.J. Watt got to be harassing Mahomes. He's got to be getting the ball. He got to make it uncomfortable. And then they got to try and limit the possessions. That's really what it's all about. And as long as they are in it with a you know, little time on the clock, and they're within one score, whoever has the ball last could win.
Your best players, like you said, T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, Pro Bowl players.
Claypool.
They got to now go up a notch. And the guys that are not, they got to go up. So everybody takes their game up or elevated in the playoffs. That's how you win. Your best player plays insane. Your second best player plays insane. That's how you get it when you're underdog.
I think this game has the second highest spread there is out of all the games that are happening.
12.5.
12.5, right? It is fascinating when you think about, and James Steele, one of our producers, is the biggest Kansas City fan that I think I've seen.
Yeah.
I've lost a lot of money this year on Kansas City.
They don't cover.
Spread, man.
Yeah.
They're 8-9. So, like, you start looking at all these games and you start saying, if there's one matchup, a team that hasn't done well against a spread, against a dink and dunk quarterback who plays well in the trenches –
I think people are getting overly influenced by the fact that the Chiefs baptized them, you know, some weeks back, and that was without Travis Kelce.
Yes.
But this is Roethlisberger's potentially last game of his career. It's a Mike Tomlin coach team in the playoffs with guys like Fitzpatrick and T.J. Watt on the defensive side. It may not be so easy.
Well, advantage always goes to the team that got blew out, right? Because when you get blew out, you got to go back and assess everything that contributed to the loss. When you win, things that can make you lose get swept under the rug. So, like, you're going in Pittsburgh and you think they're thinking, oh, well, they're going to come with the same defense. I can remember going against Peyton Manning. Like, you know, the three AFC championships I went to in a row, I was the road team in every one of those victories. Mm. So that's 6 wins in 3 years on the road.
Go ahead, humble brag.
Three AFC championships I went to in a row.
So what? I didn't win in smoke.
I didn't say nothing.
So what?
I didn't say nothing.
You know what I'm saying?
You could have seen that key, the fact that Bart saw that.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm
focusing on your comment.
It's hard to win without a franchise quarterback.
Get him, Bart. Focus in.
Get him, Bart.
Well, you know, what it is you go in there and you just got to lock in, right? And really, it's the game plans. Like the two times that we won, we beat Peyton Manning 1 week and then we beat Brady the next. Oof. It's because they were used to us playing a certain way. So we switched everything. Right, we switched everything, so then they prepared for something else, and they couldn't make the adjustments. And in the playoffs, things happen so fast. You look up, it's the third quarter, and then what happens is the team that's supposed to win starts to panic. The team that's behind that is supposed to win, they can care less. So the pressure from the young guys, they don't have the pressure. Traditionally, when you go on a road and you're a good team, you're going against another good team, but you're the road team, you feel pressure. You know, so the young guys can't perform on the road. But when they expected to lose, they out there loose. So now they playing swagged out. Mm. They talking stuff. And then it makes it for a tough environment for the other team because they doing reverses, fumble rooskies. You can't do that if you're Kansas City. You got to play traditionally. They doing reverses, reverse passes. Like, man, what you doing, man? It's like going against somebody that has nothing to lose.
So, see, told you. Same thing I told you earlier.
Yeah. Well, you
why both, am I out here then?
You both played in the league a lot of years. We're very successful. So, yes. All right. Look, they expect bad weather.
Okay, man. You gonna quit over there with that little shade you going over there.
I didn't say nothing.
Over there looking like Eddie Munster with your little Adams family outfit on. Better quit playing.
Good, man.
Part with the jokes.
Y'all are real funny, yo.
Look, funny. They expect bad weather in the Pats-Bills game this week. And what's crazy is this is – who pointed this out to us the other day? Sorry, who was it, Evan? Yeah, Jermaine Wiggins pointed this out. And since then, I've heard it a bunch of times. They drafted Josh Allen in Buffalo, not only because of his talent, but because big, strong kid can run big arm,
Wyoming.
Play in the bad weather. He could play up in Buffalo, but he's been bad in bad weather. So does this weather, not as windy as the last time, but does this weather play into the Pats' favor?
Yeah, because what happens is it's more physicality. But, you know, the Pats want to run the ball more. I think, you know, the advantage is if the, you know, defenders for Buffalo can get their head on the ball. What happens to a football when it gets cold is the oil comes out and it gets really slick. And what happens, what happens is then it gets frozen. So like now it's like running around with an icicle, right? So if you're the pass and you're running the ball all the time, if you holding guys up, don't let them fall and they get hands on the ball, punch at the ball, try and hit the hands. You know, guys' fingers start getting cold. They can't feel the circulation. And especially the longer the drive goes, because when you get to the bench, everybody's standing by the heat torpedo. Everybody got their feet in the little heated vents. But once you get out there, you out there. And that's when you got to take advantage of it because you look at the receivers. They out there, got their hands in. You can tell when it's a run, when it's a pass, because they scary. You know, guys like Keyshawn, you know, all whacked. You know, oh, it's cold. I'm from Southern Cali. You know what I mean? So you got to make sure. Also, when it gets cold, the shoulder pads stiffen up. So this is when guys like me get to be stars, right? Because I ain't in the pass game stuff. But if you want to put in the phone booth and you want to knuckle up, I was all about that life.
So you like the cold?
Oh, man. I'm from Detroit, man. Come on, son. Like when those pads stiffen up, those are weapons.
Kronk, Jim, what you know
those
about
are,
that?
Those are weapons. And guess what else gets cold? That ground. So now I'm putting all my body weight. I'm making sure I'm dumping your shoulder and your head into the ground. And I'm trying to get you up out of there. And you're like, listen, it ain't worth all that to me. Well, it is for me.
See? Yeah, well, everything you said is true.
CJ, a lot of people think I didn't play in the league because I'm not any good and not athletic and small and everything. No, it's because of what Bart's saying. Who needs that? Who needs it?
This makes me happy I play basketball.
Let me tell you something. Football has made more basketball players than any other sport in the world.
Mm.
Let that sink in.
Yeah, if you can play in the NBA, you do.
No, I've seen guys playing both. I've seen guys get hit so hard they just go grab their basketball like I'm out.
Yeah.
Don't say goodbye. Don't say nothing.
You got an option to play in the NBA. You got to be nuts not to take it based on what you just said alone.
Well, for guys like Jay, though, Jay's under 6 feet, so he was still in that. First off,
no. No, don't start 5'11"? Off. 5'11"? No. 6'1".
And a half?
Stop.
That's okay. Bart Scott, ladies and gentlemen, snapping on everybody.
I didn't even say nothing. No,
what I'm saying is
we got to go to break, Bart.
A lot of guys his size stay with football because, you know, it's in most all, you got to be great to be his size.
Well, that's why he was two-time National Player of the Year.
Man, that –
Man, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Right, which quarterbacks do we trust in every matchup this week?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Guys, there are six games in Super Wild Card Weekend. We're going to get you set with a little Take Your Pick. Evan?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, guys. Which quarterback in each matchup do you trust more? Let's start with one Monday night on ESPN. Megacast. Kyler Murray, Matthew Stafford. Key, who do you trust more? Take your pick.
I trust Matthew Stafford in this particular game. No, maybe no DeAndre Hopkins for Kyler Murray, but Matthew Stafford has to do it. I think Sean McVay puts him in a better position with Cooper Kupp to get it done. On top of that, you got to just experience in playoffs and a new young quarterback entering the playoffs. I trust Matthew Stafford.
Great analyst breakdown, Tom Jackson. I'm going more so with Kyler Murray. And I know he does not have D-Hop, but there's something still magical about him when you watch. His ability to get out of the pocket, to make plays happen. And, like, this is a matchup where these two teams split, right? So, look, there's something different about Kyler Murray in the playoffs.
I'm going to go Kyler Murray. I think, you know, I put all the quarterbacks in a row. No buckets, no nothing. One through whatever. I had Kyler Murray at number six. I got Murray at six. I got Stafford at 11, like right outside the top 10 because I don't trust him for whatever reason. So I think Kyler Murray's just better, but we'll see.
That being said, Matthew Stafford's going to win.
I don't know.
Derek Carr, Joe Burrow, both guys making their playoff debuts, first game of the playoffs. Derek Carr, Joe Burrow, Key, who do you trust more?
I think, again, I'm going to go with a veteran guy in Derek Carr. Hasn't played in a playoff game, but he is a veteran quarterback, so it shouldn't be too big for him. They're not asking him to do a whole lot in the passing game, just do enough. I think Joe Burrow and that offense relies so heavily on him spitting the ball out all over the place that there could be some costly mistakes. Although the Raiders' secondary is not great, their defensive front is, and they could go get him. I trust Derek Carr in this situation.
Yeah, I love Joe Thorough, as Max gave him, dawned him with the nickname. Yeah. I think it's a dope one. But I'm going to ride with Derek Carr. Just everything Derek Carr has been able to do for this team this year, battling through all the adversity, the way this team has came together to fight for Rich Bisaccia. I'm going to take Derek Carr in this scenario. First playoff experience with Joe Thorough.
Very tough one. I agree with everything you guys are saying about Derek Carr, and I got a feeling about him the same way you guys do. I got to go with Joe Burrow. By the way, Hembo, with the assist to Dan Orlovsky, who tweeted yesterday, Joe Burrow's played in six have-to-have-it games in his career. Right? 2019, LSU, Bama, Georgia for the SEC title, Oklahoma, Clemson for the national title. The Ravens in week 16, the Chiefs in week 17. You know what he is in those games? 6-0, 27 touchdowns, no interceptions, 444 yards a game. Joe Thorough, I got to go with him in the big moment.
Mm. All right. Mac Jones, Josh Allen. Who you trust more, Key?
Evan, is it more Bill Belichick versus Josh Allen?
Is Bill Belichick playing quarterback? No, it's Mac Jones, Josh Allen. Who do you trust more?
Josh Allen. In this situation, I think Josh is
has to show people he can play in the cold. They may throw the ball down the field. I don't see where New England's going to put Mac Jones in that position unless they fall behind and they have nothing else but that in terms of the passing game. With that being said, it's Josh Allen all day long for me.
Yeah, it's easy. It's Josh Allen for me. If this is Josh Allen versus Bill Belichick, I would probably take Bill Belichick, but I don't see Mac Jones trying to or even being in a position where he's going to have to win this game on his own. I think Bill will find other ways to try to win the game before he lets his quarterback start throwing the ball 20, 30 yards down the field.
Didn't the man say that Bill Belichick doesn't play quarterback?
Well, also, it's like, also, who do you trust more? So, like, I don't trust Josh Allen. He could lose me the game.
I'm with you, Evan. There's something. Here's the thing. The reason I'm going to go with Josh Allen, Mac Jones will be the more trustworthy quarterback, I believe. He has that sense in him. Like, you just feel like this dude knows where to go with the ball. But he's a rookie. I'm not going to take a rookie over a veteran quarterback when the veteran also has a huge talent advantage, right? So I'll go with Josh Allen.
Tom Brady, Jalen Hurts. Who do you trust?
Ooh, it's close, huh, Key?
I trust Tom Brady. I don't trust no Jalen Hurts when you're talking about those two. How could that be close? You got a young quarterback that's going to be out there just loose and unleashing things and, you know, might get himself caught in this bad situation. If Philadelphia is to win this game, he's got to play lights out.
Yeah, I'm going Tom Brady, man. Look, regardless of the fact that he's lost weapons, he still has weapons, and it's still a guy who's won seven Super Bowls.
I'm trying to think. Do I take the guy who's never been there before or the guy who's in his 21st season who's won seven Super Bowls?
I mean, at some point, Max is going to fall off the cliff. Could be this weekend.
That don't be ridiculous. Sound like that idiot in the media. Tom Brady, go ahead.
Jimmy G, Dak Prescott, who do you trust more?
Who you trust more, Jimmy G or Dak Prescott, Key?
I'm going to trust Dak Prescott in this situation. I think he's got the better offensive skill positions, the weapons. I think when you look at it, Jimmy G, when they've been in the playoffs in the past, they don't trust Jimmy G. They take the ball out of his hands because they don't want him screwing it up for whatever reason. And I think that'll be the same here.
I tend to lean a little bit more towards Jimmy G. And I hear what you're saying about the pass key. But something feels different about Jimmy G this year. And I know there's a lot of pressure on Dak. Like I said before, when the Cowboys play teams outside the NFC East, man, they're 6-5. Like, it's not easy when they play against top-tier competition for them.
Dak is more talented, obviously. I'm going to go with Jimmy G partly because of what Key said. They trust him with less. Dak has more responsibility, and therefore it's a more difficult job. I like Jimmy G here.
All right, real quick, Mahomes or Roethlisberger? Quick answers.
Trust.
I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes. I can't trust Big Ben.
Yeah, Mahomes.
Mahomes all day. If the question is football, the answer is Mahomes for me. Jerry Jones says it's Super Bowl or bust. So what will happen if they lose on Sunday? What does bust mean? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.